You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
What was that fancy thing? Is that new?
It's been like that.
I'm trying.
It's been no, like that. This is, with this music?
Well, the music's... That's just
some NFL
special
films.
Touch on it.
Yeah, it's a big day. It's New Year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. What are we celebrating?
Yeah, what are we celebrating?
Looking
right
at
now?
Each other again? Hey, it's Nathan
Get
still sitting in his chair.
Another year of us.
Yes.
You got another year of Nathan saying hello there.
Hello there.
Soon enough, he will forget.
I just think at the end of the day, if agents are crying, like, who cares about that? You know what I mean? I don't care about that. Do you care about that? I don't care about it.
No. I mean, and I guess the one negative connotation that can come from multiple agents whining is there may develop some unwillingness for them to bring their clients to the Cleveland Browns in the future based around past proceedings or, you know, unrealistic expectations in working with the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I think it's a different regime. They're not going to get people to overpay for their guys. So
no, and
not unexpected.
No, it's not unexected. I mean, you'd love to have your own back, but the money that these guys are getting paid is ridiculous.
It is interesting. If the numbers are true for Mitchell Schwartz, again, I've said all along I would get that done.
Eight or less.
But that's me. Again, that's me. I'm not a GM in the National Football League. That's just Nathan Zagura talking. So the other stuff, I would imagine, it's a new era. I mean, I think agents probably felt with the Browns, because it was Cleveland and you didn't have a great roster, you had to overpay to get people here. And these
and
guys,
you have cap space.
And these guys just aren't going to do that.
Right.
The Dwayne Bowe deal, never happening here. Probably the Tremont deal, never happening
and
here.
And I wonder.
The Dante deal, never happening
after
here.
After the fact, you know, maybe either, you know, off-air, on-air conversations, how much of a role Paul DePodesta and the analytics that him and his team are putting together to say, you know, spending $30+ million on your offensive line, how successful has that been rampantly throughout the National Football League in the last decade to winning your division?
It's not.
Right.
The teams that spend the most free agency are typically about 30.
But I meant even just on your offensive line. Yeah. That means retaining Alex Mack, you know, paying Mitchell Schwartz the number that he wants.
Why? What you're saying? Why wouldn't they?
No, I just meant like is Paul? I bet Paul DePodesta has done analytical reports that say the positions you spend your money on and what the market value is and what those prospects look like and what they deserve.
Yes, and
line
how
up
much,
one way,
and how
they're
much
not
they,
lining up in the favor of the guys that happen to be unrestricted free agents for the Cleveland Browns this season.
Correct, and also what their value is, what that position's value is to winning, and what position, what percentage of the salary cap should therefore be allocated
and,
to that position,
and the production up there, the production at the age that they are against the amount that you're paying them, because Alex Mack's going to make $50 million, okay, an average of 10 a year. In 2 years, he's going to be 33, still making an average of $10 million a year, and you can't tell me he's going to play at the same level he is this upcoming season as he is 2 years from now.
Right.
There's going to be a decline.
Sure.
But his paycheck will go up.
Yes. Yes, it will. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850 if you want to call us up. We've got some sound bites from Mel Kiper, by the way. Was that yesterday, his conference call?
Correct.
All right, so yesterday at a conference call, even though he has Jared Goff ranked ahead of Carson Wentz, why is he saying Wentz for the Browns? We're not there yet. But that is the premise of what you are going to hear when it is time to hear it, ladies and gentlemen.
And hold on, the computer's screwing up.
Gibbs.
Jeez, Gibbs.
Jeez, Louise.
Hey, I'm
just dangle the carrot right
dangle
in front
the carrot.
Of us.
It's right there. It's right in. It's called for the 215 time.
I said, you know, hey, we got some calls. Maybe you want to take those.
Oh, we do. John in Dallas. Fine. Let's do it.
I'm here, guys.
What's
hey,
up,
John? How are you?
Hey, quick question. You guys are talking about the draft, but we, as a Browns organization, since we got back in the league in 99, the draft has been far worse than the free agents, and the free agents have been disastrous. And now we don't have a quarterback. We don't have a center. We're probably going to miss a guard. and all we're talking about is getting a rookie quarterback. I think we're in deep doo-doo. And the interview you guys had with Austin Powers, man, that was awesome. I wish you would have asked him about Colin McGregor. Got his reaction. That would have been classic. But
surprising loss.
What's that?
I said a surprising loss.
Oh, brutal.
Yeah.
And anyway, the Browns going, I understand the Browns have overpaid the last 5-6 years for these old-timers coming in here. It all started with Willie McGinnis. I mean, that guy, disastrous signing. But what are we going to do? We don't have a center. Who's going to play center? I mean, that's important.
Well, it's interesting that we don't know what's the deal with Cam Irving, because the only person we've heard the Browns link to right now is a center, who, by the way, was a better pass blocker per Pro Football Focus than Alex Mack last year. So that could alleviate that. Mitchell Schwartz, until he signs somewhere, it's not done, although we've heard the offer has been pulled. I don't know any more to it than that, other than I was told by an NFL source just now that the Browns said, listen, this is the offer, and it was, in fact, the best offer for Mitchell Schwartz at that time. This is what I'm being told. The Browns' offer to Mitchell Schwartz is the best offer for Mitchell Schwartz right now, yet he has not taken it. So you can't fault the Browns for that. If that's true and they said, here's the best offer you've got, take it or leave it, and we're not going to sit around here and play this game all day long, then that
right.
I at least respect that.
Sure.
But
and it coincides
that's what's happening.
With Alex Mack. Alex Mack had a better deal.
Certainly sounds like it.
Sounds like it, from the Cleveland Browns, and took his free opportunity to go play somewhere else for less money. And maybe Mitchell Schwartz is fed up with what's going on here in Cleveland and doesn't want to be here.
Yes, maybe. We don't know. We don't know what all this stuff is. Anyway, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850, John in Charlottesville. John, you're going shopping.
I'm going shopping. How you doing, Nate, dog?
Good. How you doing, bro?
I'm good. I'm on the Cleveland Browns web store right now, and I was calling in to just get an understanding of what your favorite number is, because I think I'm going to have to make a Zagura custom jersey, because you're the only one that seems to make me happy about this team as a player.
Yeah, I'll take it. I would go, if I were to play in the National Football League, I would have always worn the number 3.
I like it. See what I can do.
John, you're just inflating his ego.
No, he's not. He's just being nice. This is nice.
If I sit on Dog Pound Drive and do a television or radio show on game day and I see a Zagura 3 jersey, my mind is going
to
be blown.
I'd probably go it's tough, though, to say, though, because 3 was Jeff George for a while, so I like that. 1 was also Jeff George in Atlanta, which is in my basement. It's tough to go away from 16 Joe Montana, though, especially if Jared Goff comes here and wears 16.
I'm going to go with the orange one, because the orange is oranger.
It is an orange. You're right about that, and that certainly was a win last year.
So
we may have been 3-13 on the field, but we were 1-1 in the orange improvements.
Keep an eye out for it, fellas. Great work. I
Thank
love the
you.
Show.
Appreciate it. Yes. I like this guy. Get more.
Surprise.
Well, not because he wants my jersey, because that was the.
He didn't say anything about Jared Goff.
That was the nicest and easiest call we've had all day. It was great.
He didn't.
Today feels like the day you know what today feels like to me? The day that we unveiled the logo.
Yeah.
That's a similar show.
A little underwhelming.
Although that one I ended up lying on the floor after.
Do you guys really think that? Because I don't think the calls have been that negative.
It's more of Twitter. I mean, maybe I just shouldn't look at Twitter anymore.
That last guy said he wants to draft Carson Wentz, though.
Who?
You didn't hear him?
No.
Yeah.
That's fine. I don't care about it. We draft a quarterback. I'm over it now.
All right.
Let's go. People will be excited maybe if we have a quarterback. Although nobody will be able to protect them. Paul in Akron, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
Hey, I agree. As far as Mitchell Schwartz, I mean, I'd love to re-sign them for what they offered them, but I like what they're doing. They're basically saying that, hey, we're going to offer you the best offer, and if you don't want to be here, then we don't want you here. We want you here if you want to be here. You know, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? We're going to go 3-13 again?
Right.
You know, and these guys that want to leave out of here, I mean, there's not one guy on this team that I would covet. I mean, there's guys that I want to stay here, but if they
there's a reason
go
we've been this bad for this long.
I mean,
it is the people on this team, you know. There's a reason, ultimately, at the end of the day, it's losing starters from a, 13-3 team, probably guys that are playing pretty well.
Yes.
Losing starters from a 3-13 team. Again, I don't think in isolation it is the fault of Alex Mack or Mitchell Schwartz. In fact, I would say they were plus starters for us last year. But apparently they made an offer to Alex Mack. You can't force him to sign it. He wants to go to Atlanta. He's going to Atlanta. Mitchell Schwartz, the word is from people I trust who NFL insiders have said the offer that the Browns made to him was the best offer he had at the time.
Which is all you can ask.
What do you want?
We're right. Playing the game.
Playing the game. So we'll see what happens.
Speaking of money, Adam Schefter reporting the Buccaneers and running back Doug Martin. 5 years, $35 million.
There it is.
For a running back.
Yeah, but if you look at what DeMarco Murray got, it's less than that, $7 a year. It'll be interesting to see what the guaranteed is. I bet the guaranteed is going to be through like 2 years, maybe 2.5 years. And we'll see what happens. I think Lamar Miller, they're saying, is going to get about 6.5 a year. So he's going to be just behind Doug Martin. And at least Doug Martin's been very productive. 5 years, 35.75. Doesn't surprise me. There is money coming up, you know, and I think some of these contracts and the numbers we're used to. For example, how could you justify the worst contract is Jacksonville giving 6.5 or whatever it was to Chris Ivory yesterday? That makes Doug Martin look cheap to me.
Yeah, and he's not even gonna be the lead back there.
No, they drafted TJ Yeldon in the second round.
Right.
All right. 216-578-0850. Again, an interesting day here. 216-578-0850. Steve in Austin. Is that Stone Cold Steve Austin? What's up, Steve?
You guys make that joke every time I call.
I like it. I'm gonna stick with it. I hope you don't mind.
Yeah, that's fine. I wanna actually applaud what Sashi Brown's stance has been here. I do like hearing that we at least made the big offers to Schwartz and Mack. Not so much because I feel like we have to spend all the money, but at least they were trying to prevent, you know, new holes from popping up and having to spend yet more high picks on linemen. But my kind of nightmare was to wake up today and see that we gave Marvin Jones that $8 million contract. We gave George Aloka $7 million a year. We gave – and, you know, he has to be feeling some pressure coming from the head coach, like, who said, well, I want two or three starters out of free agency. And I just want to applaud him for not overspending on those, like, average second-level players, spending a lot of money. You got to think, like, when you're talking about maybe signing these guys, would you trade a third-round draft pick for these guys? Would you trade a fourth-round draft pick for these guys? Because that's essentially what you're doing when you're canceling out your comp picks by signing these contracts. And so if you're going to sign somebody in free agency, it's got to be somebody for their second deal so they're young enough to be around with the team for a while and somebody who's going to make a significant impact. And to me, there's really only one guy left that I – think made it to the start of free agency, and that's Damon Harrison. You know, best
snacks,
potentially the best nose tackle in the NFL. But pretty much everybody else was already re-signed or agreed with somebody else already. So I really can't fault anything that they're doing. I would have liked to see Max and Schwartz re-sign, but it sounds like that was out of the Browns' hands. Gave them the best deal; they just chose to do something else. I want to get on and say, express my appreciation for Sashi Brown's decisions, because we don't want to hold back like potential new young good guys by locking up these mediocre guys into big contracts and like being compelled to play them instead of developing the young guys. And
if it is truly a rebuild, correct?
Right. Exactly. So anyways, I don't want to keep you guys on too long. I just wanted to get that out there.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. It's going to take time. And again, if they draft well, then it's going – this none of today matters. If they don't draft well, it's going to be the same old thing. If they don't get their quarterback, it's going to be the same old thing. The most important thing that the Browns could do this offseason is, one, they got better at head coach with Hugh Jackson, who everybody agreed was the number one coaching candidate out there. They got him. So that's a plus. And now they need to get the quarterback. And if they do that, all of this is just noise. If they don't do it, then it's not going to be a wonderful time for the Cleveland Browns. Bottom line, it's really just that simple at the end of the day. What happens today is not going to matter when we look back at whether or not Sashi and Hugh were a success. It's going to be much more what happens in the draft, getting the quarterback, and what happens from there, not what happens here today. All right, we'll come back with more CBD right after this.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Zagura Wilhelm will go to the phones now. Jim in Akron, welcome.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up?
You know, since the Browns came back, you know, I think finally we have some smart people in the front of our office. And the analytics and the Moneyball thing, if you look at that that concept, you know, you don't overpay for older guys. And I do believe that we're probably, you know, you got a lot of guys in place to find that diamond in the rough. Maybe it's a guy that's just on the brink of becoming a starter, but he was stuck behind somebody with another team. And you just got to put faith that
That's why I wanted Ladarius Green. I thought Ladarius Green fit our profile. Good player, talented, stuck behind a Hall of Famer. Now he gets the opportunity, and he's going to the Steelers. So that's one that certainly bummed me out about it there, seeing him go there. Let's go to Bob in New York. Bob, welcome.
Nathan, Matt.
What's up, Bob?
Talk to you guys. Good. I have a question,
questions.
Sure. We talk about Moneyball, which is, you know, we're in a different construct in the NFL. Don't teams have to spend a minimum percentage of their cap? Like, I had heard, like,
89%.
Okay. So the Browns have $41 million right now. They're going to end up with a little more. They cut Bo. I think Whitner probably could save them money. I mean, there's going to be a possibility, you know, that could build maybe even $50 million. So is it the $50 million that's available for them to spend? They have to spend 89% of that, or is it at the total?
I believe it is of the total cap. The floor is of the total cap.
Okay. So they have to they've got to spend some money.
Yes.
That's why Jacksonville gave Malik Jackson, you know, not that he didn't deserve it, but the significant paycheck that he received, you know, and negotiated yesterday.
Yeah, so I mean, it begs the question, where are they going to spend this money? On whom are they going to spend the money? But the other question I have is the comp picks, which seem great. But are those tradable? Because I know it seems like
not
they're
this
tradable,
year,
but
this year, but next year they are supposedly going to be. So next year they're supposedly going to be able to trade those comp picks. Go to Barron in Cleveland.
Hello,
Barron.
A lot of yes. Hello.
Hello, yeah, Barron. How are
you,
man?
How you doing? First of all, I'd like to say great show because you guys are giving a lot of insight on positions and details with those callers and insight and people calling in, because a lot of people don't understand the positions, quick release, and things if I played football myself. I'd like to ask you, make a statement. I think that the regime we have in place, I feel like the way that they even handling the Schwartz deal, it sounds like that we're probably in pretty good hands with the new regime we have going. Hey, you take it or you walk, we're not going to overpay you. It's sounding real good. Now, another thing that I want to look at is that I believe if this is me, if they don't get a quarterback on the first round, I'm sure we'll get a quarterback. I'm not going to be complaining about that. I think that the Browns have to focus on grabbing the best talent as soon as they possibly can, because a great coach can make their team into something. I've seen Trent Dilfer, Brad Johnson, Doug Williams. I've seen quarterbacks that were way under par, nowhere going to go to Pro Bowl or be inducted in football Hall of Fame. They've won Super Bowls. So when you have a coaching staff that knows how to utilize the talent, I bet that's the most important thing. And how do you feel about that?
I think obviously the one thing you can say that they've gotten better at this offseason is coaching and bringing in Hugh Jackson, figuring out how to utilize that talent. Now you're going to kind of rebuild. And it is a rebuild, unfortunately. And it's these fans and you fans out there, the Cleveland Browns, as I was just tweeted, we deserve a winner. You do deserve a winner. You do deserve a winner. And there are no quick fixes. There is nobody out there that the Browns could just sign and turn it all around today. There's no group of players that they could sign and turn it around together. They're going to have some good drafts. And they have not had good drafts. In fact, the Browns have had epically bad drafts. And they're going to have good drafts. That's why I was saying I believe April 28th is certainly a more significant day for the future of this franchise than today, than anything that happens in free agency going forward. It's all about what happens in that draft. Can they draft well? Can they get that quarterback? That's what they've got to do. And that's where we will find out what happens with this team and what happens with this regime. Because if they fail again, it's going to be the same thing again. But if Sashi Brown and Andrew Berry and Deep Podesta and Hugh Jackson can get that quarterback and they can draft well and build this team up, they've got a coach in place in Hugh Jackson who should be able to get the most out of that talent. Let's go to Eddie in Westlake. Eddie.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
You know, I'm a little bit disappointed because, you know, this is the thing. That other caller talked about the 89%. But the reality of it is that the Browns is in a position now where they're not going to keep on being able to roll over this money. The way it works with those averages, they're going to have to spend this. So what ends up happening is if you're not going to be able to get the Marvin Joneses and the Mitchell Schwartz of the world, got people that are 25, 26, and in the prime of their career, what's going to happen on the flip side is you're just going to overpay for old guys. So like in the past where we had to bring, you know, Dansby's and Whitner's and all that, now we're going to do it with Wisniewski or whatever that center is they're looking at. They're going to overpay for old. You got to spend the money anyway. So if you have to spend the money, you might as well spend the money on guys in their prime so that you're not in a situation like Jacksonville where you got to spend the money and then you throw the money at that defensive tackle that got all that money. They probably didn't want to pay him that, but they have to spend the money anyway, and they had to solidify a need. So the way, you know, ultimately what you would like to do is build through the draft and just pay your own free agents. But the Browns have been so bad at drafting, they don't have people that are really that worthy of getting paid those right kind of dollars. But the reality of it is you got to spend the money. So by us not taking advantage of guys that we needed, Larry, you mentioned about Green, the tight end. If you're going to overpay for them guys because they're 25, 26 years old. Yep. Don't come here and tell me you're overpaying. You still got these same needs. So now you're going to overpay for these lines. Because guess what? The receivers, if the money is equal, they're going somewhere else. If the money is equal, I'm going to play with Matthew Stafford over your quarterback situation. Same thing when people talking about let's build around Colt. People aren't coming up here to play with Colt McCoy when they go over there, go get the same money and go play with a better quarterback. It's just not going to happen. So the reality of it is until they start winning, they're going to be in this predicament. But they have to – they should have went out. And they said they didn't even offer – they didn't even go hard at Marvin Jones. That's just like the unthinkable to me.
See, I don't think it is. I don't think I want to pay $1 million per 100 yards to a wide receiver. I just think that seems like a bad ratio. Now, Dwayne Bowe got a lot more than that on a per-yard basis, but that's not what
you
I want
to do. $1 million per reception.
Yeah, I don't want to pay $1 million per 100 yards. I think that's not the issue to me. Maybe they like Richard. Maybe there's other receivers that they like. Jaron Brown, who I've talked about, restricted free agent. Maybe there are guys that we can go ahead and get. My point is, right now, what's been said about this regime, if you're saying they're not doing anything, is that they offered Alex Mack $10 million a year. She elected not to stay here. To take 9.5 and go to Atlanta. Mitchell Schwartz, they made the highest offer that anybody's made to Mitchell Schwartz. He didn't take that. And the Browns have since reportedly pulled their offer. There's nothing left. So we'll see what happens. They need to go ahead and get the quarterback on April 28th. They need to figure out a way to do what they can. That's it. Bottom line. That's all they can do. That's all they can do. There's no magic pill in free agency. Have I said that I didn't want to keep Mitchell Schwartz? No. What did I say?
Eight or less,
I'm in on Mitchell Schwartz. That's me. I don't make those decisions. That's what I've said. So I want to have some continuity where I think continuity deserves. I don't think, obviously, Mac leaving with the age and the money, I'm fine with it. They obviously disagreed. They tried to get him. He didn't stay. Travis Benjamin, I love Travis. I've been made fun for how much I love Travis. It's a lot of money for Travis Benjamin.
It is.
It's a lot of money for Travis Benjamin. And then you have Tashaun Gibson, who's finding that the market isn't what he expected. Maybe he does end up back here. I have no idea. But that's the situation. That's what we're dealing with here for the Cleveland Browns. All right, we'll take our final break, come back. Final thoughts on a very non-exciting day in free agency for the Cleveland Browns.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Wrapping it up here on Cleveland Browns Daily, let's go to Joe in Columbus. Joe.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, I've got the draft or the free agent strategy we're going to need to employ going forward, but I'd like to make a comment on Matt real quick. You can't blame this regime for it. I'm glad the guy didn't sign. $10 million a year is crazy. I wouldn't have matched his contract 2 years ago. But all this stuff about being so tied into the community and the great friendships and what a tough decision this was, what a joke. I've told people for 2 or 3 years he never wanted to be here, and he just proved it. So fine. Thank you. Take your $10 million and leave. It's not going to kill us or crown us right now anyway. But, you know, as far as going forward, this regime may have to do what the other front offices did, but they only did half of it. They signed veteran guys like Dansby and Whitner and Williams and Miles Austin, knowing full and well that they were placeholders for a year or two, and hoping that the draft choices that they signed were going to grow into those positions. Well, they signed the guys who could still play a little, but they drafted terribly. So, Nathan, you nailed it. If we draft well over the next couple of years, these guys will grow into the positions that the Dansbys, the Whitners, the Williams, the Dwayne Bowes, the Myles Austins, Randy Starks, all these old guys we signed can be ushered to the sideline in a year or two. But in the meantime, they will at least make us semi-competent and not make us go 0-16. Because if we don't sign the old dudes, we're going 0-16 and we're going to get our quarterback killed.
See, I don't think you can sign the old dudes. You're not trying to not be 0-16. I mean, obviously nobody wants to be 0-16, but you're not trying to say, hey, can I get to 6-10? You're trying to get the right foundation in place, let your young guys develop and play, and then get to the point where you have your own real foundation pieces.
Yeah, and I think that in actuality has to start this year with this regime because of bad signings and bad drafts in years past.
Yes.
There are not a lot of cornerstones you can hang your hat on from a talent standpoint. You know, Joe Thomas, yes, but that's 10 years ago. Joe Hayden, yes, that's 5 years ago. You know? And he didn't have his best season. I hope and pray that he comes back healthier and better than ever. We need him to. Danny Shelton was in question. Cam Irving was in question at times last year. Can he play at this level? And those are the foundation pieces that this new regime is hopefully taking over. So I think adding to the talent pool, and I have no problem being the youngest, one of the top 10 youngest football teams in 16 and 17.
No.
I don't.
I don't have a problem with it either. That's what it's going to be. It's better than being one of the oldest, the most expensive, and going 3-13.
Yes.
I'd rather be young and developing, and let's say you go 4-12, and you win 2 out of your last 4 games, and your young guys are starting to get it, and they're starting to play better. I would vastly prefer that to being old, overpaid, and 3-13, which the Browns were. That's what they were last year. Certainly, again, didn't expect much to happen today. Not a lot happening. By the way, Mohamed Sanu reportedly going to go to the Falcons as well at over $7 million a year.
And Jones, 5 years, $40 million. $20 million in guaranteed.
Yeah, basically 27 over his first 3 years. That's a lot of money. It's a lot of money for those guys. We'll see what happens. Going forward, we'll let you know, obviously. The league year kicks off at 4 o'clock today. Could be some moves, maybe not, for the Browns. If anything new pops up, we'll keep you covered at ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. All right, thank you so much for listening. We've got to thank our guy, Kian Fahey, again, at CIANAF on Twitter. Thanks, Jason Gibbs. Thank Mary Kay Cabot, of course. For Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
On ESPN 850, WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.